There's a lot to say when buying a new home or car, but only one thing to say that can help you protect them. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. And just like that, a State Farm agent will be there to help you choose the coverage you need, no matter where you are in life. When you need coverage options, your State Farm agent is there to help, on the phone or in person. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/Wondery and use code Wondery for 20% off your first purchase.
Welcome to the Nerdist Podcast number 437. If you're listening to this on Tuesday, the 12th of November, the day that this podcast comes out, then you should watch At Midnight tonight. Our guests will be David Koechner, Judd Apatow, and Nikki Glaser. Those are our comedians that night. So I'm super excited about that. And so I would love for you to watch the show. It's At Midnight, Monday through Thursday after Colbert. We have a couple days left in our initial run, and then we'll see what happens. But if you've been watching, thank you so much. Thank you for supporting. Thank you for supporting At Midnight, and hopefully we'll see you there. Let's get right into this podcast, because this is one of my favorite people, John DiMaggio. And John, I've known for years. I first met, if you listen to the original John DiMaggio podcast that we did with him and Billy West, I think maybe I talked about the fact that we both worked at MTV at the same time in the 1900s. And so we kind of knew each other there, and then we worked together again a bunch in voiceover. And John is a force of nature. The guy's like a fucking comedy Zamboni. That's a sports thing, right, Katie? I know it's hockey. I know it's hockey. That much I know. I know what a Zamboni is. I adore John, and he made this documentary about voiceover artists called I Know That Voice, which was essentially a way to put faces with the voices that not the voices in our heads, but the voices that seep into our shared cultural experiences in the animated shows that we love. And I Know That Voice is available in select theaters now, and it'll be available on VOD January 7th of 2014. Here we go, the Nerdist Podcast number 437 with John DiMaggio, who also taught me how to do a Tracy Morgan impersonation. And he will teach you how to do it in this episode of the podcast. So you will learn how to do voices in addition to being entertained. Well done.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
I like your mic hugging technique.
I don't feel like leaning forward.
Fuck it, man.
That's it.
Leaning forwards for chumps.
Yeah.
I like these mic stands.
Jonah's hugging the microphone like in his arms, and it's
cradling.
Just resting. You're
cradling it.
On his chest.
Yeah. It's better this way.
Now,
is it too much rub?
When you and D,
it's a lot of rub?
When you and D have a baby someday, are you going to put on like fake milk sacks and
they're not going to have to be fake, Chris.
Whoa!
Science will show away.
You think so? He's writing on
science.
That's
it.
Yeah. How many things do you think now where you go, oh, when I'm older, I'm sure they'll figure out something by then?
All the time. Sure, why not? There's got to be a better way to pee. You know, straight to it, man. Yeah. Straight to it.
Piss tears?
Yeah, totally. I got to piss. I'm good.
Is peeing really that much of an inconvenience for you?
No, I'm just like, anything. Yeah, sure, sometimes. I mean, but, why not? Everything has. There's got to be an easier way for everything.
What if they discovered that the key to anti-aging is in urine, and they could just reroute it back into your body to basically
you could live till you're 200?
That's right.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty awesome.
You could literally be full of piss and vinegar.
You'd really be a salty dog. Then.
Yes, you would. Johnny D, it's always good to have you on the podcast.
Thank you so much. I appreciate being here.
Thanks for coming back.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
When was the last time you were on? You were on with Billy the last time.
I was on with Billy the last time, and it was very ridiculous. People always are coming up to me saying, heard you guys on the podcast, man. You guys are really funny. I can't believe it. It was awesome. I'm like, thank you very much. Now I have to get hand sanitizer, but that's okay.
How are you feeling? You said you're feeling under the
weather. I'm just a little under the weather. I got a little con crud. I went to I did a convention in Detroit and got a little funky. So I got that, and I flew on a plane in October, which is just, you know, you're bound to get something. So
Everyone's just waiting.
Everybody's just like that season of, you know, it's just like, oh, it's hot, cold, hot, cold, hot, cold,
and then just the germ gift giving that comes with
exactly with shaking extra, hands and being like, how you doing? Community. Thank you. Yeah,
yeah. I always worry. I mean, just doing hosting stuff, I can sort of if I feel sick and I sound a little weird. Yeah, that's all right. You know, like, I can get through that. But when you're doing voiceover, you call it, it's all over.
Yeah, it's all over. I have to work tomorrow. I don't know what I'm going to do.
Especially for you, because you tend to do a lot. Like, you do a lot of loud characters.
I do the screamers. I'm one of those guys that does a lot of screamers. So it's just, yeah, I'm always going to have to. But the good thing is that I have a little bit of technique. So it's like I can support it with breath, and I can just. Overdose with some lemon and some hot water and honey and tea and all that stuff, and just, you know, gargle with a little bit of hydrogen peroxide and do all that stuff and you know,
just quick fix. Just
give it a shot, you know, just like see what happens but if I'm too sick, I won't go in, because I don't want to get anybody else sick, because then all of a sudden you have a bunch of sick actors
and then you're just talking to a microphone and then those germs leap off the microphone and get back into your face
right there. Oh my God! Somebody's got to disinfect this one right now.
No! What are you doing?
Look out, DiMaggio!
It's affecting this one. It's changing colors.
Oh my God!
It's dying.
What are those 12 monkeys doing over there?
Farting.
That's it. They're spreading their funky monkey fecal matter,
which is my favorite jam band.
That is my favorite jam band too. I hear they're touring with Disco Biscuits soon.
Well, I don't have it very often.
Spit it out, man.
I don't have words to express feelings.
Sorry.
But I don't work full time as a, I mean, I just, right now I'm just doing Sanjay and Craig, which is basically just once a week.
Yeah.
So it's not, and you've been doing stuff.
I've been doing some stuff on Sanjay and Craig. I play Penny. I'm Penny on Sanjay and Craig.
Yeah.
And every once in a while I'll do some other character, and it's that show is funny. Thurup is really, I mean, he is hilarious. That guy is out of his mind.
He really is. He's one of the, I think we got to have him on the podcast. He's one of the most interesting dudes.
Oh, and his voice is just so, it's so unique and just so crazy. But when he directs from the booth, it's hilarious. He's just screaming into the microphone, and you're like, dude, you got to take it easy. Because he's acting with you. He's like reading the lines with you, and it's just like, wow. But it's funny as hell. I mean, he's got lots of talent.
That's great that he makes it energetic, though.
I've done VO
stuff where it's just the person's like, just I'll give you the lead-in word.
He's got the sweetest vibe, but he's also an ex. He grew up in Salt Lake, so he's an ex straight edge guy.
Oh, nice.
I think he was ex straight edge guy. He was definitely a punk guy. He's definitely into punk. I don't know if he was straight edge or not, but
from Salt Lake, that's where the straight edge gangs formed. That's where
that's what he was saying. That's what he was saying. He said it got really gangy.
Yeah, it was like straight edge, which is a pretty positive movement of being.
And they would just start beating the shit out of each other.
And then they started beating people. I remember there was because I was straight edge as a kid, and then my parents were always really stoked on it. And then there was like a 2020 episode where the straight edge gangs
tonight on 2020.
Yeah. They don't drink, they don't smoke, but they fight. And it's just about these gangs going and finding people smoking or drinking, and because, you know, it's Utah, they take it to an extreme level of, you know, clean.
Well, it's the unfortunate thing is that for people who actually were like positive message straight edge dudes were like, come on,
yeah, it's
why you gotta ruin it? Why you gotta tell everyone about that?
So that's crazy. I didn't know that guy was in that kind of scene.
Is that how they got off, by fighting?
We knocked over porta pies. When you're not drinking or doing drugs, you are going to get in way more trouble than some kids are just going to get.
That's not true. I'm at home every night by 10 p.m.
Well,
Jonah.
No, now, but you're an, you're
right,
an adult.
Right. Well,
like,
now.
Really, really adulting.
Oh,
now.
Wow.
Yeah, now I'm home too.
When you say that, boy.
I'm home too now. It sucks.
We could go out, or we could
just stay home.
Yeah, I have to rest.
Isn't there something on HBO or something like that? Can't we watch a show? I have something on the DVR.
catch up.
Oh, look at this. Steel Magnolias is on HBO Go for a limited time.
It's wonderful.
Oh, she's got the diabetes.
I remember.
Oh, awful.
I remember being at the Rustic Inn a long time ago. And
was I hammered?
Yeah, we all were. It's because Harmon and Dino were around, and Jeff and Jerry Minor. So it was like a.
Uh-huh.
It must have been like a Tuesday afternoon.
Everyone gets drunk.
Yes.
Everyone gets drunker when Dino's in the room. He just raises molecular level. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, but he's like at the same time, like he's getting wasted, but he's still getting work done somehow. He's still writing scripts the entire time. But I remember we were all there, and then I was there with a friend, and. It's like I was like, oh, that's that guy. That's John. He's a he's the voice of Bender, and he's like, no, he's not. And then I remember just like tapping you on the shoulder, going, hey, this guy doesn't think you're the voice of Bender. And then you pushed him on the floor, and then you started doing push-ups over him, screaming at him in the Bender voice, going, really? You don't think I'm the voice of Bender? I will kill you. I'll kill all humans.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it was, and he.
I've
never seen someone laugh and be so scared at the same time.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah, it was the it was the funniest because he was just like, because he was like still, he's hearing.
Oh,
Bender's
wait a minute,
voice.
I think I remember that now.
Yeah. I don't know. I think I think it was, might have been like a football day of some sort. There was like, because it was a day drinking day.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but a bunch of us were.
Sounded a little something.
You don't think I'm Bender? I'll kill you. I'll kill all humans. Doing push-ups.
Push-ups over him.
You were doing push-ups all day.
So you were
I was, yes.
Yeah. You were doing push-ups all day. I remember, like, you kept on, like, you would, like pound a beer and then do push-ups against the bar.
Boozer-sizing.
Oh, yeah. Boozer-size.
Yeah, if you got
boozer
time to
size, boozer-size. Come on, everybody. Do your boozer-size.
I used to, when I worked, like movie theaters and record stores, I would say, if you got time to lean, you got time to get lean. And I would just start doing push-ups. Claps on the.
That's funny.
You're a dick. I was very very sad to see Futurama go this year, and I know.
I wish I could have been there on the.
It was your birthday then.
I know, it's my birthday, and I was in Hawaii.
Happy birthday! No more show.
No more show. Oh, had I been there, I probably would have started crying. Because it was just, you know, it was just it's bittersweet. I just did an interview on Twitter today with CNN, and the woman was like, I hear that Futurama's, like, Xbox wants to put create new episodes and have them exclusively on Xbox. And I'm like, really? That's the first I've heard of it. It's like, you know, and, like, it's kind of limited, too, isn't it? Like, you know, just Xbox? I mean, does everybody have an Xbox?
Enough people have an Xbox.
Enough. Well, then there it is. Well, yeah. You know, who knows? I mean, I don't know.
That's kind of a weird idea.
Yeah, you know, it's just like in between playing Gears of War, you're going to play... You know,
I think it's kind of genius.
You like that idea?
Yeah, I do like that idea because I'll tell you, a lot of people under the age of 30 do not have cable or satellite anymore. They watch everything online or they watch Xboxes. And so if you, or they watch platforms, you know, PS4 or Xbox. With the upcoming PS4 or the Xbox One. Be interesting to see how that plays out. But I really do believe that... I really do believe that these gaming systems are sort of the... Because what the industry needs is a device that will sort of unify the platforms.
Yeah,
right. As people are getting away, you know, like as programming is getting away from cable, broadcast, satellite, and people still do watch television. There's less of them.
Yeah.
But there's a big enough audience with an Xbox. I mean, like, if you just had to buy an Xbox once... And then, you know, whatever your platform is, just buy one platform and then that's where you get your entertainment.
As long as you don't get the Red Ring of Death.
Yeah. Well, all the entertainment stuff will be in the cloud.
But that's counting on a gaming company providing you with good television, pretty much, right?
No, it's not. It's
Microsoft, really.
It's counting on a company, it's counting on a hardware company and to make good software to help integrate and make deals with entertainment companies like Netflix, networks. You know, like,
listen, man, if you think it's a good idea, then I'm all for it. I mean, all I care about is one of the best gigs I've ever had in my life, period. I mean, it opened up doors for me. It was just huge. Working with those people, one of the best experiences of my life. So much talent, so many wonderfully gifted people, the funniest motherfuckers around, and just brilliant. And just the... Listen, to get the chance to work with them again, I'll jump off a cliff. Whatever you want me to do.
It was a really nice fun. We did a little special around it, and Matt Groening was there, and
Billy Lashton, and Maurice, and Phil
Lamar was there as well. Yeah. And it was a really nice. It was really nice.
Yeah,
I'd never met Matt before, and he was fucking awesome.
No, he's like one of the coolest cats around, man. He is so cool, and you know he's saying to Billy, oh, don't worry about it. You know, it's like it's okay. It's not right. It's not, you know, it's like he's pretty much saying it's not over.
Right.
Like, you know, don't, you know, this isn't, it, this is, you know, so, I mean, and the guy's got, you know, he can print his own money if he wanted to because of The Simpsons. I mean, so. Yeah.
Futurama's the show that will just keep coming back.
I think it's really the undead Futurama. I mean, it's just like, it just keeps coming back from the dead, and I hope it comes back. That'd be really great.
Well, people connect with things that they like, and I don't think they care as much about how they get it. Whether it's I watched this on Hulu, or I watched this on Xbox, or I watched this on television. They connect. Like, I think the days of network loyalty are probably
right out the window.
People just want the thing that they want.
Well, there was that big thing with Kevin Spacey had that big talk about how if you create the stuff, people will come. Like, he was talking about House of Cards,
right?
And how they just created it. They did it. And they knew what they had to do for the audience, and created it, and just gave it to them.
Yeah.
And they jumped all over it like white on rice. And so, you know, if you create it and you put it out there, there's going to be an audience for it. You know, I mean, that'd be great if like Netflix would pick it up or something like that. That'd be totally awesome. I mean, who knows? It's
by the way, it just occurred to me that it would sound way more disgusting to say they hopped on it like brown on rice. I don't know why.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a healthier option.
It is a healthier option.
But it just sounds more disgusting.
They hop to it like brown on quinoa.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
You okay? You
just it's like a little quinoa.
Say that with more quinoa. One more take.
Quinoa. More quinoa on that.
Yeah. Quinoa.
That's that character's name.
That's it.
That's that character's name is quinoa.
Hey, how you doing? I'm quinoa.
What's that guy?
Hey, yo, quinoa. Huh? Hey, man, get your ass over here. Okay.
I really feel like quinoa is like the super hip Galactus.
Is it? I'm Galactus. That's pretty funny.
Oh, you are?
I'm Galactus.
Holy shit!
Yeah, I'm the Galactus on the last thing that they had Galactus.
I'm a sarcastic psychic. Things that I sarcastically say turn out to be true.
Zoom. That's funny.
That's fantastic.
Oh yeah.
Someone did tell me of a good. There's a natural remedy for throat stuff, and they call it Hulk juice, but it's basically this like, I think it's a Vietnamese. Like a serum, or you know, like you buy it in a bottle. It's been a giant bottle.
You can't drink it after midnight, right?
You can't drink it after midnight. And you can't feed it.
Yes,
you can't feed it.
And can't get it wet.
Too much responsibility.
Can't get it wet.
Too much responsibility.
You can't get the liquid wet.
Yeah.
It's real hard.
That's real hard.
It's real tough.
Yo, I'm so fly. I turn gremlin pussy into monster because they can't get wet all the time.
Oh.
Yo.
Write it down, tweet it, make sure the youth knows.
Boom, 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 boom. Wow.
I gotta write my gremlin pussy rules, yo.
Oh, man.
Sorry, that was almost treading on pussy talking Jonah.
Oh, no, it's cool.
Yow.
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 So how many shows are you working on at the moment?
A couple. It's kind of light. I'm really trying to get the movie.
Yes, I know that voice.
I know that voice.
Well, you talked about this when you were on.
Hashtag I know that voice.
you were still making this when you were on last. Or maybe you just finished it.
No, I think I was still making it. I'm not sure, but we're finished. We're done. We have a premiere at the Egyptian on November 6th. I don't know if it's going to be after or before this comes out.
I think we'll put it up before then.
Yeah?
Yeah, we'll put it up before.
Okay.
Then.
Well, it's, you know, and we've raised about, so far we've raised $22,000 for Indiegogo for charity water. Which is really cool. We wanted to have a premiere. We got on to Indiegogo and they helped us raise money, and we raised money for a great cause, and you know, it's pretty awesome.
And what's the movie?
It's
oh yeah, you weren't at that podcast.
Yeah,
it's called I Know That Voice, and it's about voiceover people, and like basically, you know, me and the director of the film were in Amsterdam, and he directs he does music video stuff, and we were shooting Jam Pants, which is pretty funny. It was called Jam in the Dam, And the Disco Biscuits had played there.
You ever hear their cover band, Disco Bisquicks?
Really? Are you serious?
No, I made that up right now.
Oh, that's brilliant. I'm giving you a round of applause.
All right, full disclosure. I thought of it earlier when you said Disco Biscuits.
But it passed.
And I didn't want to have to be that
guy. So you were just like, I hope he brings it up again. I hope he brings it up again.
To be so fortunate that Disco Biscuits comes up twice.
You were able
to pass that through your system like a Disco Biscuit.
That's it. But so we were there, and I was emceeing the thing and just bringing the bands up and screwing around. And I started doing the voice of Bender on stage, and there were these German tourists there. And they freaked out. And I got off stage, and like I was up at the, I like went up to the bar to get a beer or something like that. And they came up to me and they started to talk to me. I mean, they barely spoke English, but they were like, "You are the robot. The Futurama." I was like, "Yeah." And Larry was watching the whole exchange, and he was just like, "I can't. This is incredible that you've touched these people from afar, and now they've seen
you." Are you sure that they were saying it because they were German? They were saying, "You are a robot. You are the future."
Yeah.
Like they wanted to make you into it.
Like they wanted to put me on a Kraftwerk cover album. No, but so we were just like, wow. He was like, I can't believe that. That's really cool. People must, and we just started talking about it. We were just like, let's do a documentary about it.
The impact of that. And since the sort of the YouTube explosion of you guys doing script readings at a con.
Yeah.
In other characters.
That Seattle convention where we did Star Wars, a whole bunch of us. I think Rob Paulson had done it with us and stuff like that. And you know Rob.
Love Rob.
Yeah, he's great. And so we decided to just start. I just said, okay, well, let's get it together. And he and I and another friend of mine, Larry Shapiro, directed it, and Tommy Reed helped me produce it. And we just started asking. I just started asking people at work, like, hey, you want to get interviewed for a documentary I'm doing about voiceover? And they were like, yeah, sure. So, I mean, the three of us came up with 20 questions that we wanted to ask everybody. And we asked everybody the same questions. We had 150 interviews, 160 hours. We pared it down to 95 minutes.
Wow.
The editor had a hell of a job to do with Brandon Saunier, and he did a great job, and now we have a movie. And
what's the arc of it? Like, what was your sort of through line?
It's just basically everything you always wanted to know about voice acting.
And seeing the faces of everybody
and just kind of, just 20 questions, really. I mean, whether or not there's an arc is really I don't know. I don't. That's a tough question because, like,
it's a getting to know these people behind your favorite voices.
Yeah, it's that. I mean, it's just that. It's just an introduction to these folks and just a sneak peek into what it's like behind the curtain.
I mean, I don't. The characters that I do are always pretty similar to me, so it's not like I blow anyone away when I go, "Hey, I'm Craig now." They're like, "You're just you louder."
Yeah.
But with guys like you and Paulson and Bennett and Jeff Bennett.
Yeah.
And
who's in the film.
And Maurice.
And Maurice LaMarche and Billy West and Tara Strong and everybody.
And D. Bradley Baker
who steals the movie. It's
I
awesome.
Saw a really funny, Steve Agee was at a voiceover audition and took a picture of Maurice. And he's like, "Why am I even here?
Why is Maurice auditioning?"
Yeah, exactly. That's what some of the comments
were.
Isn't he an offer only?
But what you notice is that with guys that you wouldn't necessarily, when they normally talk, you don't hear, and then they go into the character. The kind of recognition that you see fans give, like you said with the German tour, when they hear the voice, it's almost more intense than if they see someone they recognize.
Yeah.
Because it hits their recognition sensors on such a deep level. They're like,
absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, at a convention, I'll do, "What time is it? Adventure time." And girls will just giggle and just explode. Like, their breasts will explode.
Don't do that after midnight.
No.
Call back.
A spooky Halloween call back.
It's not Halloween anymore. Call back. By the time this airs.
But now it is a callback to Halloween.
We'll play this again in 2014 at Halloween.
Wow. That's awesome. I don't even know anymore. I just want to go back to Halloween.
We can call it back. Now people expect us to do this every year. And it's a fun game to play for anyone in a room, I've just realized, because all you have to do is just whatever the last syllable of the person says, then you can just jump on that.
Yeah.
I'm out.
Sorry,
that was it, man.
Yeah.
Come on, guys.
I was waiting for a volley. I was going to wait for you to toss it over, and I was going to continue it.
Well, here, take this.
Pass.
Really?
It's passed.
So I just hit the ball over in the net, and you just sit there with your arms folded, as they are right now.
Done.
I'm taking my racket and going home.
Well, you want to make sure you get in time for the trick-or-treaters. Bringing it back around. Oh.
I've got Mary Janes. Where are the Mary Janes? Little peanut butter candies.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Those are awesome.
My wife, she went to the store to bring home some candy for the trick-or-treaters, and then like when she got it was all these generic candies. I was like, oh, you're that person? Oh, how could you?
You're not going
to
make
it. Then I wanted to like make up for it. I'm like going to go buy full-size candy bars and just go, sorry, kids.
The one day of the year Trader Joe's sucks. Like people just want the shitty candies that they recognize, not like Trader Joe's peanut butter crowns.
Yeah.
Even though that shit's really good.
No, I'd eat those.
Yeah, those are great.
Those are the ones that you bring home and the parents eat.
Yeah, it's so weird.
I don't want this. I want it. Shit,
I'll take it.
It's so weird because it's something's happening with candy right now with like Whole Foods and Trader Joe's where they make it look healthy. The packaging makes it look healthy,
which makes
it's
it
like,
less fun.
It's the same. It's peanut butter.
Makes
You're
it
like,
less fun.
Oh yeah, yeah. That I'll just have that. It's
makes
healthier
it less
version.
Fun. Yeah, they put like the peanut butter cups. Which are essentially Reese's peanut. They're essentially peanut butter cups.
Yeah.
They put them in that sort of like plastic container that you put Sprouts in.
Yeah. Little script, just like peanut butter cups.
They're still pretty fucking good though.
They're fucking great.
They're still.
I'll eat them.
Yeah, pretty fucking good.
I'll eat them.
It's great. It's like when people go, "Is it good?" Yeah, it's sugar. It's great.
Fucking awesome.
How's that drug? It's great. It's a drug.
Yeah,
it's great.
It's chemically designed to affect the pleasure centers of your brain. It's great.
What's wrong with you?
Your brain.
Sorry.
Brain right. games.
No, anytime.
It's over.
What are the shows that you're working on now?
Sanjay and Craig. I'm doing a little bit of Sanjay and Craig. I'm doing a little bit of Randy Cunningham, Ninth Grade Ninja. Doing Adventure Time. Gosh, what else?
How are the Adventure Time records? Do you guys record separately?
We record together. Sometimes, if schedule permits, we're separate. But mostly it's together. It's pretty crazy. It's
you just never know. Like when you get a script and you go in and you're like, you know,
it's the weirdest.
You just never know what's gonna go.
Yeah, it's the weirdest show. I love it. It's so strange and it's. It's huge. It's huge.
Yeah.
If you go to a Hot Topic in a mall, like, there's all they have is fucking Adventure Time stuff.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's nuts.
What I love about it and what I love that I think that it actually makes me feel good about our culture is that type of entertainment which is there. It's like this unbridled positivity and excitement. And then underneath, there's just a dark layer.
Oh, yeah. God.
Everything on top is super like,
I mean, it's a post-apocalyptic world, but with fucking, with a, like a candy princess and shit. Yeah. You know, like a bubblegum princess
and
like candy
princess.
People. And then a fucking vampire princess and all kinds of crazy shit. But the best part about it is that I meet people, fans of the show, at these conventions and it's just, you know, it's dad is dressed up in a Jake outfit and the son is in a Finn outfit.
Oh.
And you know, and they're both having the time of their lives.
Yeah.
And that makes me very happy to be able to really affect folks in a positive way like that.
Well, that's why it's kind of nice that you did this documentary because voiceover actors very rarely get the credit that they deserve or the recognition that they deserve.
That's another reason why
for affecting
I did it.
People's lives on such a deep level.
Yeah, and I think that's part of the arc. I mean, the arc isn't really an arc; it's just a flat line. But it's just like it's just facts along the along.
That's
the,
a raft.
Yeah, is that what it is?
No,
I don't know. Yeah. It's a raft.
Spooky raft.
Spooky. I mean, and I just, you know, I wanted to show everybody, you know, as I put it in the films, as like champions of the industry, man. These are the unsung heroes, you know. These people, I mean, we go out, like, I'm on TV every day somehow.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm not sitting around going, ha-ha, I'm on TV every day. It's not like that, but it's just like I'm somehow entertaining someone somewhere. and so are my peers. And I wanted to kind of show their face so I could just be, you know, I just, all it is I just wanted to get a round of applause for everybody.
Yeah.
You know, that's the arc of the film. Just want everybody to go, wow, these people are so fucking talented and so brilliant.
I said this every time I have, voiceover folks on, which is that I think it's one of the most, like, the really talented voiceover artists are some of the fucking greatest performers, and because they have to convey everything just using
their voice.
Just using their voice.
It's acting with your hands tied behind your back and your feet bound, and you know, and you're dangling over a fucking pool of sharks.
Yeah.
And you're still doing it. You're still creating the whole world, you know, with just your voice.
I really do love the process where you get to go in and you just read the script, you do the voice, and then you come in and then you start syncing, like you have to do ADR and sync some stuff to the picture, or, oh, well, this was drawn a little bit differently than the way you said it, or you said it this way, we want to do it this way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then finding more jokes based on what, taking that pass of like, oh, well, you guys, his face is doing this, so can we try this?
Yeah.
And then just the crafting of it together with the producers is really fun.
You know, that's always something. Like, when people ask if we're able to, you know, are you able to improvise? It's just like, well, yeah, but first you want to get what's done, you know, what's in the script done. You want to honor that. You want to honor that stuff. And then after that, you have room to play, if there's time.
Right,
yeah.
And then sometimes there's some magic that can happen. And, you know, I mean, just that can happen too. Like, if you're acting on stage, or if you're, you know, as long as there's time, like on film, like as long as there's time. But when you're in the booth, there's a lot more time most of the time. And so you can really tweak things here and there and just have a lot of fun and give a lot of options. Like, you know, I just recently did a Boondocks. Not a Boondocks, I'm sorry. Black Dynamite, because I'm thinking of Carl Jones. Who wrote both of them,
yeah.
But I mean, and I did this crazy character who just constantly is talking about punching people in the dick. and just like, it's just really, really ridiculous. And I kind of made that up along the way. And they were just like, no, run with that. That's great. That's really funny.
That's great.
So this guy's just going to be talking about punching people in the dick. It's just really, really awesome. Funny. So,
what does that character sound like?
I can't remember. I mean, I think he's, I'm going to punch you right in the dick. I swear to God. You little fucker. I'm going to punch you in the dick.
I love the Black Dynamite cartoon.
Oh, God, yeah. It's genius. It's so funny.
Yeah, it's really good.
It's so funny. It's so on the edge.
Do you think we're in an animation renaissance right now, or do you feel like that there are sort of slim pickings?
No, I think we're in a renaissance. Not a huge renaissance, but we're in a big enough renaissance that people are taking notice and that people are doing a lot of stuff. There's a lot of comedy and a lot of adult comedy too that's being done. I mean, Brickleberry, like, that's ridiculous. That show is completely offensive and funnier than hell.
Yeah,
I did a couple of those, but I mean, like, it's just. Yeah, I would think so. There's a lot of people turning to animation to tell their stories, and it's funny because I think there's a lot that people that create those things have a lot more control over them than the network does, as opposed to being in like an on camera sort of a thing. Like, the network has a lot more control over that. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I don't know. There's a lot of things going on, and everybody's on the hustle. You know, it's just a trip. It's a trip.
I was gonna jump in with that.
It's
okay, don't worry about it.
Yeah. I wasn't able to really get in there.
I tried to do the low one, just like drop it down a third.
Just didn't can pull it off.
Drop it down a third.
How are you feeling otherwise? Everything besides being a little under the weather today?
You know, everything is cool. I'm really excited about this movie coming out. It's just finally. There's something about doing a documentary about that I'm included in, and all my peers are included in, and like talking about it over and over again. It's sort of masturbatory. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like, oh God, I just want it to get out there so people can see it. And they can say something to me about it as opposed to me saying something to them about it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I just kind of feel like I just, you know. But, I mean, but still, it's coming out. I mean, how many people make movies and they don't see the light of day? So I'm just excited that people are going to get to see this thing and, you know, get to see it at the Egyptian, have a nice premiere. And then we're on In Demand for 3 weeks in December, starting December 1st to the 21st, of Viewtopia. We got a deal with a company called Viewtopia, and they're going to put it on In Demand and Time Warner Cable, Cox, and Comcast. So, you know.
And then will it be digitally?
And then it'll be digitally available, like iTunes and stuff like that, on January 7th,
nice.
2014. So, I wanted it to come out before Christmas, but we weren't able to do it. So, but still, it's coming out, and I'm psyched.
No, listen, people need, after the fucking holidays, they're going to need
a little cheering up.
A little cheering up.
They're going to a little cheering up. And what better to do that than hear people talk about their wacky cartoon voices?
It's going to be weird once it's out there. Like, it's not really something you'll be able to really think about. Like, it's just done. It's out there.
Yeah.
It's this thing that occupied a space in your brain for so long. All of a sudden, it's just like moving out of an apartment. It's like, oh, packing up all the boxes and moving out of your brain.
Yeah, yeah.
What's going to go there now?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I'm excited. It's really something. I mean, it's overwhelming, the amount of work that we put into this thing, and I paid for it.
Wow.
So that's the thing. I'm looking to get a little money back. I'm looking to just be like, okay, that's cool, you know. Whatever.
If you work for Xbox, please bring Futurama to the Xbox.
Oh my God, please. Well, you know, it's not like I went broke or anything like that. I mean, it was
that is kind of fascinating though, is that
it's like getting high off your own supply, paying for your own film.
But if you're an actor on a show and that show is done and you're not going to be that, like, that was it. That was a moment in time. You will always be Bender.
Yeah.
And you will always have the power to be Bender at a moment's notice. You know, like I'm sure Cranston could go out and get a little hat and shave his head and grow the goatee. I'm like, okay, I'm Heisenberg now.
Yeah, yeah.
But like on a moment's notice, you could just do push-ups on a guy in a bar and shout Bender.
I'll do it, baby. Oh my God. I'm going to do it. Come on, Xbox. I played Balmer in a movie. Come on, Microsoft, do it.
What's crazy about it though is that there's gonna be
freaking out Kyle.
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Oh, look at Kyle, he's all embarrassed. Yeah. He's all shy.
Kyle's embarrassed. Kyle's embarrassed.
I imagine your cheeks would be red if we could see him.
Oh,
yeah. He's beardy.
Furry cheeks. Yeah, yeah.
That's it.
Yes.
It's what's weird though is that there's gonna be kind of this like weird generational split with that voice of just or like there's gonna be people going, oh, that's Jake. That's the Jake voice. Or it's like, that's, you know, like people know you from that. And it's just, there's going to be a weird split, I think. There's going to be a lot of crossover, but it's going to be interesting to see, like, as people get older.
Yeah.
Like, who they connect to.
It's funny because sometimes I get confused. My schizophrenia gets in the way. It's like I hear what people say. Oh, that's, oh, I hear you in that. I hear you in that. Like, you know, I hear Bender in that. Or I hear, it's just like, you know, okay, that's cool. Yeah. As long as you're entertained, I don't, you know, and as long as it doesn't bother anybody, I don't.
No.
I'm pretty sure I made you do this the last time you were on too, but I always loved Hilly Burford on Barnyard, which was the Harry Carey.
Hey, Hilly Burford here. Hi, everybody. Hilly Burford. It's time to tell you the news. Hey, there's some wacky cows that are talking in the place. Did you ever go to a farm and there's pigs and things talking? Hey, isn't that wild? Hey, everybody.
Hilly was the character where you could shoot him and he'd be like, hey, everybody, it's got shot.
Yeah. Hey, somebody just shot me in the ass with a .22. I didn't know it would hurt like that. I thought it would sting. Hey, isn't that wild? I'm Hilly Burford. Hilly Burford with an update on a news channel. And like I didn't even grow up with Harry Carey. It's just like it's an impression of an impression.
Yeah,
of an impression.
Yeah,
but
right.
It's just like, you know.
But that's where a lot of it. Do you start with a person in mind, or do you just fuck around with the vocal quality until you find it?
A little bit of both. It all depends on, you know, if you look at the picture. You take into account like what their mouth looks like, or what, you know, what shape they are, where they're from, you know, their disposition, you know, what the, what they're asking for. Is there an accent? Is there not an accent? Is there, you know, is he a monster? Is he a person? Is he a, is he an animal? Like, it just, you know, it just, it, and sometimes I'll just have something, I'll be doing something. Like, you know, like when I was doing Penguins of Madagascar, I was doing Tracy Morgan all the time. And they had a, they had a space squid that they had come in, and so I said, let me do it as Tracy Morgan. You guys can you guys can reverse it. So I was, I was going gloobo globo globo globo, and they would reverse it, and it would sound really ridiculous and sound like something completely different, but it was me doing Tracy Morgan. Wow. Talking gibberish.
That's fucking,
oh yeah, it was crazy. And I mean, because I've been, lemon. Let me tell you something right now. John DiMaggio is my cousin. That is for real.
There's too many farts in the fart machine.
There's too many farts in the fart machine. The key to doing him is you have to, you gotta pout.
You gotta tuck your chin.
You gotta tuck your chin, and you gotta pout. We're like, damn, that's cold blooded.
Was Eric Bauza was saying, like, to do a Paul Giamatti.
Oh, to do Paul Giamatti, you got to eat your shoulder.
Yeah, yeah.
It's Paul Giamatti. He's got, you know, you got to kind of eat your shoulder over here. Hey, man, you know, it's kind of a, and it's perfect. And I don't even do Paul Giamatti, but it sounds halfway there. Yeah, yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Ah, there's always something. Christ. Yeah, there's always something. Like, I can't believe this. I'm on this show. Okay. I'm on this show. About the movie with the slugs that didn't do well. What the hell happened, man? You know, somebody get me. I don't want any goddamn Merlot.
It's like, all right. It is funny to see this sort of like in the choir of voiceover actors, like guys like you and Kevin Michael Richardson, just have the fucking baritone, the brrr, you know, yeah. And then guys like Rob Paulsen. Rob can actually get a pretty low register, but he also.
He gets way up here.
Oh, like, God. His fucking voice can get so high and still maintain integrity.
He's a tenor one right there. He's incredible. He's amazing. When he does his. What's the guy? Well, God! I mean, he does that old Southern guy.
It's this guy?
Yeah. He kills me. God, he's so damn funny.
And then in between takes, you know, he's just the fucking. Like. Just these like machine guns of
jokes.
And go, hey, don't ever drop names. Bobby De Niro told me that. Like,
it just continues to do that.
Do you ever do character studies of people? Like, when you're out in public, do you pick up on stuff? Like, if you hear something,
you know, every once in a while. I mean, I used to. The more I'm in public, the more I get that.
Yeah.
You know, I pick up on that, but I'm just tired. I just want to go home and lay down. You know what I mean? Like, but when I was younger, I would pick up on that stuff all the time. When I was in New York and any place you're a pedestrian, it's always good to just turn, you know, take the earplugs out and just listen and just check out stuff and take it all in, because you never know what you can get from that. But it, you know, and I still do that, but not as much as I used to as a younger man.
You could be the guy that just repeats, just annoyingly repeats voices. If someone's like, stewardess, you can be like, stewardess. That's how you sound. I'm going to put that in a show. Fuck you.
Yeah, that's it. Totally putting that in a show. That's funny. But, you know, it's whatever you just pick and put things in the.
Till you find it.
Till you find it. And then that's it, really. And just shape it. Just keep molding it. Keep molding it. And you have to be willing to, and the key to this business is being able to compromise and being able to really fine tune stuff.
Yeah.
When they say, you know, do this. Okay, now that wasn't right. Now do this. Okay, can you go somewhere in between that? And it's just like you have to learn to be able to do that. And if you can do that, then you can do it.
What's the general temperature of the voiceover community? Is it, are they
97, 98
degrees. Yeah. Appreciative, or do you find, is there any kind of subtle like frustration of, well, people don't know who we are, we don't get paid as well as on camera people, and like, is it?
I think that only happens when they aren't getting paid as much as the other, as people that aren't in this section of the industry. you know, get paid. When Cameron Diaz gets paid $10 million for a movie, it's just like, it's a kick in the teeth to some of the people in our community. But that's all right, because I see the other side of it. So it's like, hey, the producers want to put in names to make money, and I understand that. That's totally fine. But, you know, it's just the same. It's just the same. It'll cost you. It could cost you 5% of that, you know, or 10% of that to get somebody 10 times as talented. And you know, but still, do you get the people to come because are they Cameron Diaz fans or are they just fans of the movie? Like, what, you know, that's a hard equation to figure out. I mean, sure, people, I think, in this industry, in the voiceover industry, love what they do. So much so that they don't need the praise and that kind of stuff. And they don't need to be paid the millions of dollars. People, we make a comfortable living. I mean, you know, those of us that are working, you know, steadily and, you know, I mean, and it's great. It's awesome. I'm not complaining at all. But there's some times where you're just like, really? That guy? Like, what? Like the movie now with the turkeys,
right.
Freebirds.
Freebirds.
It's just like Owen Wilson again. It's like really.
Hey man, gobble gobble.
Yeah, no, it's just like,
hey man.
It's just, you know,
and
I love Owen Wilson. I think he's fun to watch in films. But I don't.
Oh, really, thanks man. I really appreciate that. Owen Wilson's here.
You can't hear that nose. Yeah.
I'll just keep pretending to know.
No, it's okay. Keep doing it.
It's really great, man.
Do you think a lot of because a lot of people from Mad TV seem to work a lot as voiceover actors?
That's because they're sketch. They're character people.
Yeah,
they're character actors.
Does it come? Do you think there's a lot of like Second City and Groundless people?
Absolutely. There's a lot of people that have done like, you know, that do comedy. There's a lot of character actors that do voiceover. And that's great. That's solid. I'm all for that. Listen, I mean, I'm not trying to keep anybody out, keep anybody from doing any voiceover. That's, you know, listen, you get the part, you earn the job. That's not for me to say or me to decide. But it's just like sometimes when people are given these gigs and it's just like, wow, really? That's the punch to the chin that I'll have to take, you know? It's just like, I don't know. It's frustrating, but, you know, I know I'll live. I know I'll be okay, you know. It's like I'll work and stuff, but it's just, you know.
Well, maybe you won't live anymore.
Spooky.
I could get in my car and get to a car wreck.
Business affairs.
Oh, goodness. Oh, good thing I've got a trust.
I don't know why I said that in a spooky part. It was sort of a safety net.
Oh, my goodness.
How are we doing on time?
Oh, we're right. We're almost at time, man.
Oh, man.
It just goes so fast.
Yeah.
It just goes so fast.
Yeah, it does.
Time? Yeah. Oh, brother.
Tell me about it.
Tell me, man. Hey, time just keeps on ticking in the future, man.
Wow.
Hey, bro.
Far out.
Hey, isn't that a lyric, bro? Hey, man.
I don't know if you... I'm still so jealous that I can't do, because I can do like screechy singing, but I still can't get up into David Lee Roth, and it fucking.
Let me see if I can get up there today because I'm a little under the weather. Oh yeah, I live my life like this. No tomorrow.
God damn it.
So good. Hey, I need a little bit more in the headphones, man. Oh yeah.
There's an app. He made an app.
Oh yeah, I know. I have the app. It's awesome.
I love it.
It's awesome.
I can't.
Soul I got.
I can't get up there.
Oh yeah.
You just did it.
That's not. Yeah. It doesn't sound the same. It just sounds like
California's got sunshine.
I can't get the. Ha! Yeah, I can just kind of get it. He, you know, that scream that he does is he was heavily influenced by Deep Purple.
Oh wow!
Yeah, so that's where he got that scream from.
It's a perfect. It's he's found a place in the vocal cords. It's such a specific to just vibrate that one.
Yeah, I have a recording of Van Halen in Pasadena in like 1977,
no way.
78 at a bar.
No way.
And they're playing like stuff off the first record, and they're playing covers, and it's insane. He's like, I want to see some more dancers on the dance floor, man.
Oh, God.
Can you imagine being in a fucking bar and Van Halen is playing and there aren't any people fucking dancing?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
There's a guy just sitting at the bar. Like,
oh, no.
Why does that guy have a drill on his guitar? That's weird.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Was that? No, that wasn't. Was that a drill?
Yeah, like
that was like Stryker or something like that you're talking
that
about.
That was in one of That was something that Eddie Van Halen did, right?
No, Eddie Van Halen.
I don't think so.
That was a guy. Oh my God! What fucking awful.
There was a
band
that did the chainsaw.
Yeah, there was a band that did the drill too, and it was like he'd put it on there, and it was like
I could have sworn I saw that in like a later day.
Nah, it was some other heavy metal band, but they were awful. they were so bad. I mean, how bad do you have to be?
Well, there was because I remember I did it once for Greg Behrendt's Bring the Rock. Did you ever do a Bring the Rock show?
No.
Oh, Greg Behrendt used to do this show called Bring the Rock where he would get performers, comedians to come on stage and tell a story about how some particular song influenced their lives. And then you would cover it with their band Electric Snowflake. And you would cover it in a unique way.
Oh, wow.
That's where Nina Gordon did the Boys in the Hood cover was out of Bring the Rock. And so, was it Boys in the Hood? Yeah, I think maybe it was Boys in the Hood. It was one of the, it was something. And so it was a really fun show. And so I did, it was Jackal. The band was Jackal.
Jackal!
Jackal.
I'm a lumberjack, baby!
Yeah. Fucking.
That's it.
Yeah. Basically just had a fucking chainsaw. So I had a chainsaw on stage.
Oh, nice.
Really?
I'm a lumberjack.
That's really funny.
Jackal with a Y. That's what
you didn't hurt anybody, did you?
No, I did not hurt anybody. God, I did not kill many people.
Oh, did I?
Oh. No, I think it was in the summer. It wasn't an appropriate time of year.
Oh, disappointed ghost.
Yep, sorry. Summer murder. This is my summer voice.
Oh, no. That sounds like the Pac-Man ghost. That's it.
Well, you look good.
I feel all right. I shaved because it's Movember.
Oh, you did?
Because tomorrow's Movember, right. And I got to grow the stash for the month and update everybody on Twitter. And
yeah, you can rock a good handlebar mustache.
I can get a good mustache going, so it's going to be fun. I'm excited. I did it last year, and I raised like $3,600. And that was just by myself. Nice. And I had only had like, I don't know, like 5,000 people on Twitter at the time. And now I got like 38 or something. So hopefully I'll make some more money for ball cancer awareness. Ball cancer.
Hey. I got that ball cancer.
Hey, listen. Those of you listening right now, hey, watch out for ball cancer. Go to the John DiMaggio on Twitter and help me raise money for ball cancer
awareness.
All right,
a lot of you are laughing right now. Ha, ha, ha.
Asshole and ball cancer awareness. A friend of a friend of mine, his father was sick with cancer, but he had been riddled with it. Like, he had gone undiagnosed. And this guy had such a great, great outlook on life. And he was just like, yeah, my pops, he's got the breath and balls.
What?
He's from Philadelphia. He's like, yeah, he's got the breath and balls. The breath and balls. He had lung cancer and testicular cancer. He's got the breath and balls. You know, what are you going to do? Everybody knows somebody cancer. It's just like, it's fucked up. So, yeah, totally. If those of you listening, the John DiMaggio on Twitter, and go to my Movember page and donate $1, donate $5, donate $25, whatever. Do what you can. Or start your own page and raise your own money.
But if Tracy Morgan could tell you to go.
Let me tell you something right now. This is for real. Hey, listen, you don't need no cancer up your asshole. That's messed up, man. You gotta think about that shit. You need to eat some more soy. Hey, did you know that? Hey, you know Japanese motherfuckers don't get that prostate cancer because they be eating that soy and that fish and shit. But now I don't know what they gonna eat now because they got that motherfucking frankenfish and that Fukushima shit. So listen, let me tell you something right now. You go to D-John DiMaggio on Twitter. That's my uncle right there. I'm telling you right now, you be raising some money for your... Hey, nobody want cancer in their nuts. That's cold-blooded.
That's for real, though. I don't want no tumors in my balls. I need my balls because I'm going to get bitches pregnant. That's for real.
Take it behind the school and get it pregnant.
Yeah, that's right. I take it behind the school and get it pregnant. What you know about that, son? Shit.
Yeah. Well, since I've been, essentially, you've been kind enough to let me direct you like a vocal puppet, will you please tell people to enjoy their burrito as Bender?
Enjoy their burrito? Enjoy, hey, you enjoy your burrito, chumps! Oh, yeah, what do you got in it? We got in that burrito. Oh, yeah. I put some sauce in it, and put the guacamole on it, too. Yeah, baby. Woo! By my shiny metal ass.
DiMaggio!
Yay! And hashtag I know that voice, too.
Hashtag I know that voice. I know that voice is the movie. The premiere is coming up soon at the Egyptian on November 6th.
And we'll be on In Demand December 1st through December 21st, and we'll be available on iTunes and other platforms on January 7th.
Hooray!
Yes! Nice job.
I remember.
Remember!
Cut.
The right Alamo! There.
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.
Nancy's love story could have been ripped right out of the pages of one of her own novels.
She was a romance mystery writer who happens to be married to a chef.
But this story didn't end with a happily ever after.
When I stepped into the kitchen, I could see that Chef Brophy was on the ground, and I heard somebody say, call 911.
As writers, we'd written our share of murder mysteries. So when suspicion turned to Dan's wife, Nancy, we weren't that surprised.
The first person they look at would be the spouse.
We understand that's usually the way they do it.
But we began to wonder, had Nancy gotten so wrapped up in her own novels?
There are murders in all of the books.
That she was playing them out in real life? You can listen to Happily Never After, Dan and Nancy, early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.